Amen. Good morning. Just want to say I love our church. I love our church family. Yesterday, April and I usually come in on Saturdays for a couple hours and try to align my heart with what God would have me to say on a Sunday. And as we were leaving yesterday, we came and obviously we had many volunteers that were here yesterday helping out with KTTS. And I just want to, as a pastor, just want to say thank you to our church for having such a generous heart and also having a heart to serve. I had a youth director growing up who would teach us, and he would say to us, man, if you could teach a young person to serve, you can teach them just about anything. And I believe that we have a church that has a heart to serve. And I especially just want to say thank you today to Joyce and Larry Mays for all the work that they have done for the last several months. Amen. And they'll get mad at me. They'll get mad at me afterwards, but I don't care. They already voted me in, so we're here. But because of their leadership and because of the service and the servanthood of so many, over 380 young people were able to have Christmas this year. Amen. And so many of those, I think about half of those were kids that are in adoptive families, and we thank and praise God for that. I also just want to mention, too, this past weekend, the entire Midwest was pelted with tornadoes. And one of the things that I love about being a Southern Baptist is that when we give to the cooperative program, we're a part of an organization called Send Relief, which is in partnership with the North American Mission Board and also the International Mission Board. And whenever there's tragedy here in the U.S. and whenever we have acts of God and catastrophe in that regard, Send Relief, one of the largest relief organizations in the world, is boots on the ground. And your giving and your generosity goes to help fund that, to facilitate that and catalyze that particular ministry. And I know there's others like Samaritan's Purse and whatnot. But as a Southern Baptist church, we give to the cooperative program. And not only do we give to that and we fund that organization, but there are many members and volunteers throughout Southern Baptist churches all over the United States that are a part of Send Relief that are right now ministering to families whose lives have been completely upended by the season that they're in and because of the catastrophe that happened over the weekend. And so we certainly want to keep those folks in our prayers. Amen. Now, if you would, we're in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 26. And the Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting that this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren." In verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we need to hear a word from you today. We need the Spirit of God to speak to us and to minister to us. We need the Spirit to heal the brokenness that we have in our own hearts. And God, many times in life, we find ourselves in a place of complexity. We find ourselves in a place of uncertainty and chaos. And I'm so thankful this morning that the Word of God is given to us not only to guide us, but to anchor our hearts to something so divine, something so incredible, that no matter what we find is the outcome of our lives, we can have faith in you and we can trust you. And I pray that might be the case of all of those who know you today, and for those who might be in the service today, and those who might just be one heartbeat from a sinner's hell. I pray that they might just put their complete faith and trust in you today, and that they would understand what it means to be right with you in this season. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, oftentimes we have plans for our life. We all, to some degree, have an agenda and we have a schedule. The way that we want things to go. This morning, on Sundays, I have a routine and I have a schedule and I have a way of doing things. And most Sunday mornings, when I can, I try to get up early enough to where me and the girls, Ellie and Brianna, we'll run to McDonald's and we'll have breakfast together. And we used to go and actually sit in McDonald's. And when we were in Piatone in Chicago area, we'd go and sit, and there all these older folks would come in and we'd chat up with them every week. And now, since we can't actually go into McDonald's, we get our breakfast and we sit in the parking lot and eat and just chat and have a few moments before we, usher in this day. And so this morning, I get to the line, and if you've been to the McDonald's there on Campbell, there's these, they have the two lines, you know, and that's always confusing, right, amen? Because you feel like if you're the first one, you should go before the other person. And so as I'm pulling into the lane this morning, I said to the girls, because someone else pulled into the lane beside me, I said, let's try to get in front of them and beat them so we can get our food first. And so as soon as I pulled into line, Ellie looks over to me and says, oh, that's Casey Mushton, one of our deacons. I said, let's still beat him. And so, He was able to put his order in before us and cut in front of me. And, in my flesh, I'm like, oh, man. And then I get to the window and they're like, that gentleman in front of you just paid for your order. I said, well, praise the Lord. I probably should work on being a kinder person. And I find it interesting that so often in life, man, we have our plans. We have things that we want them to go a certain way. Do we not? Amen? And one of the things that we want to look at in this passage of Scripture today, and that is this, is that oftentimes when we read these stories and they're kind of lost on us because we're so familiar with them. And I'll tell you, as a pastor, the Christmas season, it's one of the hardest seasons to preach on because I've been now doing this for almost 20 years, and there's only so many ways that you can say Jesus came. Mary was a virgin. And just to kind of go through the familiar, and the reality is we can become really familiar with the story. But stories about Christ's birth get a little tricky because we have a tendency to focus on the character, Mary or Joseph or the angel or the wise men or the shepherds. And what we do is we focus on the character rather than focusing on the character of an almighty God. And the reality is that every story in the Bible, whether it's the Advent story, whether it's an Old Testament passage, every single story in the Bible points to one character, and his name is Jesus. And it points us to the one who redeems us from chaos, who redeems us from the upendedness, if you will, of our life that we often find ourselves in. And these stories about Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds and John the Baptist and Elizabeth, these are not stories about how great faith that they had. Instead, they're primarily about how faithful God is in meeting them in a place of real brokenness. And that's the story of Christmas. That's the story of Christ. That's the message of the cross. That God would find a way to us, and he would find a way to us through Jesus Christ, his Son, and that Son would help to heal us and restore us, and redeem us, and rescue us from the brokenness that we experience in life. Today we learn to confidently trust God's word in times of uncertainty. God uses the unexpected to reorder our priorities, and that's exactly where Mary found herself. She found herself in a moment of uncertainty, in a moment of, for a young woman, of chaos. We find that God is at work to realign our life to His will. And God will often use uncertainty and chaos to reorder our life and to reorder our priorities. Now, I'm going to be honest, there's been seasons, there have been times in my life where it has been turned upside down. And it's been somewhat chaotic. How many of you can identify with that today? Say amen. I just find you wake up one day and you're like, man, how'd I end up here? And I haven't always, in all honesty, I haven't always responded to those moments with faithfulness. I haven't always responded to moments of uncertainty with faith in Almighty God. And there's this internal struggle in me to really trust the Word of God. There's something in all of us that we really, really struggle to embrace the promises of God and to trust that He is good and that He is faithful. In fact, life is often filled with many complicated situations. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever found yourself in a situation where everything was just unexpectedly turned upside down and it just was rendered chaotic in that moment? I'd imagine there are times in all of our lives where God was doing or allowing whatever He was doing or allowing, it didn't make much sense. And I think we can all relate to the loss of family or the loss of a job or just a relational conflict in our life. Having your world turned upside down in a moment is often overwhelming. But I'm also glad that that God has given us a word, not only to guide us, but to shape our hearts, to show us what really is eternal, significant, and of value. It shows us a way forward. And oftentimes when life is uncertain and when life is chaotic, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know how to respond. And so we just are paralyzed in fear or frustration, and so we do nothing, or we just live in fear, not really learning and knowing and understanding what it is that God is actually up to. So this morning, the big idea is this, is that when life is complicated, when life is uncertain or chaotic, if you will, the way forward is God's Word. God's Word is always the way forward. God will show us a way forward when we lean into and we dive into and we allow the Word of God to help our understanding of what it is that He might actually be up to. So the next time that you find yourself in a chaotic season, you can ask, what does God's Word say to do? What does God want me to do in this moment? Where in the Bible can I find wisdom, and where in the Bible can I find guidance in a moment of uncertainty? Because as followers of Jesus, we have a way forward through our most difficult and confusing times, and it doesn't have to be a moment of despair. And listen, when I said earlier, there have been times where I really genuinely struggle to trust God. You know what I lose out in those seasons? I lose out on the work that God actually wants to do in me and through me when I don't trust Him. And I want you to avoid that today. And when the way that we do that is understanding that frustration in life is a moment to listen. And we see that in verse 29. The Bible says, but she was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried, listen to what it says, tried to discern what sort of greeting that this might be. Here is Mary, a young woman, probably somewhere between the age of 13 and 16, and she's betrothed. Now, betrothal isn't like our engagement today, because the only way out of a betrothal was through a certificate of divorce. She was essentially married to this man without the actual physical intimacy and consummation of the marriage. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up and reveals that God is going to complicate her plans. Much bigger deal than not getting through the line first at McDonald's, right? Much bigger deal. Her life was about to be turned upside down. And she was going to find out in this moment that God was going to complicate her plans in order to accomplish His will in her life and in the life of others. Ultimately, what God was doing in her was for her, but it was also for many others. And so all of a sudden, here's Mary going on about her business, and the angel shows up, and he starts speaking a word from God. Now, can you imagine? This angel pops up out of nowhere. Hey, life's about to be turned upside down. But God's going to do something great. And our situations aren't altogether different. Our plans get interrupted and we have God's word. And here's the reality today. We don't need angels. We don't need a manifestation of God in that way. You know why? Because we have the word of God. God has given us the canon of scripture. God has given us the veracity and the reliability and the inspired word of God to show us what our next step should be when life seems upended. And I'll be honest, God will often interrupt our plans and our agenda, and frustration can often set in. And it's emotion that we often experience when things don't go our way. Not always, but often we get frustrated and we get aggravated because things didn't pan out the way we want. And one thing to remember is this, is that life is much more about the journey than it is the destination. And see, that's how I am. I just wanted to get through line and get my food this morning. I wanted to get from A to B, and life isn't linear in that way. Sometimes we go here, and then we go here, and then sometimes we go back here, and then we go over here. Life just doesn't work the way we think it does, and it doesn't always happen it doesn't occur in a straight line. And so we have to be focused on the journey. And the good thing is that we're not alone in this journey because we have the Word of God, and B, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so there are going to be setbacks and there's detours to our stories and many of them orchestrated by God, but we can believe that God is in control of our lives. Someone wrote this, they said, God isn't always leading us to the safest route forward, but to the one where we'll grow the most. And oftentimes we want the easy path. Oftentimes we want the path to least resistance. And God says, no, I'm going to lead you down the path where you're going to grow the most. Frustration isn't a time to gripe or complain. It's a moment to listen to God. It's a moment to discern. It's a moment to consider how God might be arranging our story and our life and our heart and our direction. And it can be frustrating. It can be upending. And I'm looking around this room this morning, and I know that there's some grief in this room. I know that there have been some setbacks this past year. I know that there have been moments of frustration and moments of fear and moments of faithlessness in God. Yet I want you to know that no matter where you find yourself in your story, no matter where you find yourself in life, God has a word for you today. God has a word to guide you. And in your moment of frustration and in your moment of fear, man, you can stop and pause and know that God is on the throne. You can listen to His word. And so I ask you this morning, would you allow God to transform your heart to the point that you fully listen to Him? Whenever there's a frustrating moment or a setback, God is at work in our moments of frustration. So we have to develop a heart that's filled with faith to listen to what He's trying to teach us personally. And if we're not careful, and this is my biggest regret in moments of uncertainty, moments of chaos, if we're not careful, we miss out on God's will for our lives. Frustrations in life are a part of God's design to develop an ear to listen. Oftentimes, we're just going on about our thing. Oftentimes, we have our agenda, and we have our plans and our goals, and God says, I'm going to set you straight. I'm going to reorder your priorities. I'm going to give you a setback to set you up for something greater that you didn't even know was on your path. And that's exactly what's happened to Mary. Mary's biggest thing is, I just want to get married. And for any young person that's marrying someone that's of high character, which Mary was doing with Joseph, man, that was her world. And God says, no, man, I got something better. I got something more glorious. I got something more purposeful. And in every uncertainty, in every complication, and in every chaotic moment, God is saying, look, stop what you're doing and listen to what I'm about to do in your life. God wants us in those moments of frustration to listen to Him. Instead of responding in frustration, let it be a moment to have faith in God. Eric Reed posted on social media a while back. He said this. He goes, a person's spiritual maturity isn't truly visible until they don't get their way. Then you see the real person. And that goes across the board. It can go across in a marriage. It could go across in a family with your children. It could go across in church life. How often do we often act spiritually mature, act like we've got it all together, but when we don't get our way and when things don't go according to our agenda or our plans or our desires, we get frustrated and we take our ball and we go somewhere else or we do something else or we gripe or we complain or on and on and on we can go with the responses. No, man. Sometimes and often our agenda is upended. Our goals are realigned. It's not a moment to gripe. It's not a moment to complain. Oh man, it's a moment to listen to God. Frustrations can be a building block to a greater faith and ultimately a greater purpose. But secondly, fear is a moment to trust. In verse 30, the Bible goes on to say, and the angel said to her, look, Mary, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You are favored of God. Right from the start, the angel says, don't be afraid. How comforting is that? And in our, listen, over 400 times in the Word of God, God says to his people, do not be afraid. Do not fear. You know why? Because we struggle with fear. And the reality is we fear, you might jot this down today, we fear what we can't control. We fear what we can't control. And let me just help you with that. You don't control anything. You don't. We don't control anything that we think we control because control is illusion. And listen, God's goal isn't to freak you out. I don't know how this like resonates with you at all, but here's this young woman. She's just wanting to get married, hang out with Joseph, have some kids. He was a carpenter. They were probably going to build a kitchen together, like, you know, the folks down at Magnolia. I don't know how all that was going to work for them. But their life was, and to some degree, so much different in their mind than what it was going to be. And all of a sudden, here's Mary going on about her business. Boom, an angel just shows up. I don't know about you, but that kind of freaked me out. I'd probably lose it if I saw something like that. And so, here it is. God's goal isn't to freak her out, isn't to freak you out. Listen, it's to build up your faith in who he is. That's what God's trying to do. So if we know in life plans are upended, if we know in life there will be moments of chaos, if we know in life there's going to be moments of uncertainty, we don't have to stress, we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to freak out. Listen, we can put our faith in a living God who sits on a throne, and we've come to worship him today. Amen? And so fear reveals our brokenness and our need for someone that we can trust and depend on. And so often we try to depend on ourselves. We try to build our life out on our own abilities, our own finances, our own structure. God says, I'm going to show you something. And that is this. You can't trust yourself. And you can't build your life out on what you can do. Your life is to be built out on me. There's only one who's able to overcome our fears, and his name is Jesus. The point is not a better life. The point isn't that we would have a better life. The point is that we'd have faith in God, that we'd put our trust in God, that we'd learn to depend on God. And so often we get frustrated when our plans or our agenda is interrupted. In fact, it causes us fear. It causes us frustration because we think we're losing or we're missing out. And God wants to lead us from a moment of fear to a life of faith. And if you don't listen to his word, if you do not listen to the word of God, if you do not govern your life and allow your life to be governed by the word of God, your life will be characterized by fear and worry. And you will miss out on some of the most incredible blessings and purposes that God has for you. Now, don't miss the word that God has for you when you're frustrated, when you're afraid. The angel gave Mary a very specific word to strengthen her faith in an overwhelming and uncertain moment. Because, see, here's the reality. God's word strengthens us. God's word anchors us to something eternal, something unchanging. It shows us the character and the nature of a promise-keeping God. And in the passage here today in verse 30, he says to her, do not fear. He says in verse 30, you've found favor. In verse 36, he says, listen, Mary, you've not been forgotten. And then in verse 38, he says, nothing is impossible with our God. So if you're searching for peace, if you're searching for joy, that's only going to be found in trusting God. The angel brought a word from God that affirmed Mary in her moment of frustration. That moment wasn't a moment to doubt God or to get bitter about how things weren't happening according to her agenda and her plans, because when you trust God's word, he will lead you from fear to faith. And I want to just say this, Jesus coming in a manger 2,000 years ago demonstrates to all of us the power of God to keep his promises. Amen? And to stay faithful in rescuing us from our brokenness. And that's the reality. It's so often we are afraid that God can't handle what's going on in our life. And if we understood the complexity of what God had to do to accomplish redemption in our lives and the cross for us, we might trust him a little bit more. And then in verse 38, I want us to see that following is the way forward. Frustration is a moment to listen. Fear is a moment to trust. But following is the way forward. In verse 38, the Bible says, and Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. When Mary says in this text, she says, behold, I'm your servant, Lord. You might just jot down in your notes, she found her place and she found herself in this moment in a place of surrender. She surrendered her agenda. She surrendered her goals. She surrendered her priorities. And she was ready to reorder them, if you will, or realign them to the will of God. There's this recognition that our lives are lived in total surrender to the will of God and not to our plans and not to our agenda. We're servants. You and me, we're all servants of a sovereign Lord. You know, perhaps the most important part of our walk with Christ is having complete faith in him. I would always argue that I think and I believe that the Bible teaches us over and over again that God is always leading us to a place of faith. Almost in every situation, we have to acknowledge that God is leading us to a place to trust him, to depend on him, and ultimately what we find in this text, to surrender to him. Faith doesn't come easy. It's not seen. It's not felt. But when we're obedient, the blessings every time outweigh the questions and the uncertainty. Because see, God's purpose is to get us to a place of surrender. Following God means dependence on him. And you can't do your own thing to the exclusion of God's will. Because listen, that's not surrender. Obedience is joyfully following God. Look at what she goes on to say in verse 38. She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. And then she says this, and let it be to me according to your word. And so she found her place in this moment of surrender, but then she just found herself in a moment of obedience. God, whatever your will, whatever the outcome might be, I can't control it, I can't fix it, I can't repair it, I can't undo it, but I'm willing to surrender it to you. You want my marriage? I'll give it to you. You want my first child? I'll give it to you. You wanna upend, you know, my storybook marriage and all the things that are going on? I mean, when April and I got married 21 years ago, one of the things that we would do back then is they had a wedding planner book. You could go to Barnes & Noble and buy it. It was this thick. It was like every girl's dream. And April filled that thing with pictures of dress. It was like a big crafting book that you would put ideas in and you would make plans with. And can you imagine Mary having a book such as that? And, oh, you know, I'm going to do this for the engagement party and we're going to take engagement pictures this way. And here they are taking engagement pictures and she's 6, 7, 8 months pregnant. And the next week what we're going to find is they're going to have a baby, not in a hospital, but in a cave. And on the way, in her 9th month of pregnancy, she's going to ride a donkey to the city of Bethlehem. You see, she had this obedience, and she says, Lord, be it unto me according to your will. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 31:5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord and faithful God. You see, when your heart wants control, determine to commit your life to God. When you're seeking control, when you feel, and that's what we do, man, knee-jerk default reaction. When we want control, or when we feel out of control, we step into a moment of fear and we try to fix things, repair things, or manage the outcome of that situation. Instead of doing that, let's pivot and say, you know what? Let it be to me according to your word. Because behold, I am your servant, Lord. You'll be less frustrated. You'll be less anxious because someone way more wise is leading you forward into a future that he has planned for you to prosper. I think about that this morning. I wonder how many that are sitting in this room today that had a loved one who was here a year ago, but they were lost due to an illness. I wonder how many have maybe lost a job this year. I wonder how many of you sitting in this room today have had a relationship that is broken and it seems like it's not going to be repaired anytime soon. Maybe a divorce. I mean, I look around this room and I just find that we are all a people. We are all people filled with a certain level of brokenness and a certain level of loss. And our knee-jerk reaction is just to control it and to manage the outcome. Instead of doing that, I wonder how many of us will just be able to commit our life to God, to trust Him that He's going to guide us into a future that we can prosper in. And so I want to encourage you today to follow the Word of God, no matter how difficult it might seem. The moment that we decide to move forward following God's Word is the moment that He begins to work. And you might get frustrated, and you might have fears, and you might be disappointed, and you might get discouraged. But I can promise you this, if you really desire peace, if you really want joy in your life, and if you desire to fulfill the purpose that God has for you, you will not do that by eluding or skirting around a life committed to obeying the Word of God. Whatever your situation is this morning, how complicated or how chaotic it may seem, God has a word for you. In this season of your life and during the holidays, I want to encourage you not to miss out on Christmas because you're searching for solutions to your problems. Oftentimes, we want to fix our situation. I want to fix my marriage. I want to fix my kids. I want to fix my finances. I want to fix this. I want to fix that. And God says, stop searching for solutions and just search for the Savior. Just learn to walk with Jesus. Learn to trust His Word. Learn to depend on Him. Searching for Christmas means that we'll have a profound sense of Christ's presence. It means reordering our life to what is significant because there's no 12-step program to overcoming fear and frustration, but you can grow in your faith towards our faithful God who provided a baby who could rescue us from our triviality, our brokenness, and our complicated lives. And that, my friends, only happens when we listen to the Word of God in our moments of chaos. The Word of God brings order. Listen to this. The Word of God brings order to a life that's filled with chaos. This morning, you can choose to be bitter because things haven't gone your way this year. You can continue to be frustrated because of the setbacks that you've had, or you can begin to move forward trusting God, knowing that He has a purpose, knowing that He has a plan, knowing that you will prosper in His presence when you obey His Word. So I'm not trying to oversimplify the complexity that we face in life, but I do know this. Christ came to rescue us and restore us and give us a life that's filled with joy and one that's filled with peace. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? How many would say to me this morning, Pastor Jason, I certainly understand that Jesus is my Savior. I know that I'm right with God, forgiven of my sins, and I know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. How many of you just say, Pastor, I know that. And you could lift your hand by way of testimony today. Now, how many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, I am uncertain about where I stand with God. I don't know that I'm forgiven. I don't know that if I were to slip out into eternity today, that heaven is my home. But I want to know. I really do. Would you lift your hand and just let me pray with you this morning? Is there anyone that's like that that's here this morning? Anyone at all? Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am, anyone else? How many of you would say to me this morning, Pastor, life is just out of control right now. There is uncertainty. There is complexity. And I would go so far as to saying there's even a little bit of chaos right now in this season of life that I find myself in. And I don't want to live in fear and I don't want to live in frustration. I don't want to miss out on what God is saying to me in these moments. I don't want to miss out on His purpose for my life. And I'd like for you to pray with me this morning. Would you just do that? How many of you just be honest enough with me and God today and yourself? Lift them up. Just put them up there really quickly. Hey, pray for me. I want to listen. I want to trust God Amen. Hands all over the room. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you stand to your feet this morning? Father in heaven, I've done the best I could today. The best that I know how. And I pray that your Spirit would just fill in the cracks, that your Spirit would speak and move and do what only the Spirit of God can do. I recognize that for many of us, our lives are not what we expected them to be. Sometimes our life is just complicated. And I just pray that we would learn to be a people that have hearts and lives and minds that are shaped by the Word of God, not by our own agenda, not by our own goals or our own ambitions, but God, that we'd have a redeemed ambition, and that ambition would be to please you and to be surrendered to you and to be obedient to you. And I pray, God, for our church today, that our moments of fear, our moments of frustration, we'd recognize it's a moment to listen. It's a moment to trust in you. And I just pray that we'd build that in our life and in our walk with you. We ask it in Jesus' name.